Well, what's interesting about your concept of generating beliefs and emphasizing the golden rule is that as we mentate these processes, science has already recognized that our thoughts are actually broadcast into the environment. This, for example, is the foundation of how those prayers that you talked about influencing the AIDS patient or transcendental meditation impacting crime also influence the environment. So basically, it says, if we as a large population would collectively think and intend a life based on the golden rule, it would alter the field. But then we take the physics of that, saying from Einstein's perspective that the field is the sole governing agency of the particle, then good intentions and the good golden rule beliefs that are permeating the field would ultimately materialize in the particular world by shaping civilization to conform to those beliefs. So it actually, there's a scientific connection of how our thoughts and our intentions can lead to a change in the evolution of civilization.
There are other ways that we can impact the field even more directly. There's a famous story about a Native American grandfather talking to his grandchild. And the grandfather says, "There are two wolves fighting inside of me. One is the wolf of love and peace, and the other wolf is the wolf of anger and war." And the grandchild asks, "Which one will win?" And the grandfather says, "Whichever one I feed." So we have choices in the matter. In a certain sense, all of the complexity of philosophy and human history boils down to this one simple story. We can wait for some external messiah with a magic wand, or we can withdraw in the face of evil in a chaotic world, or we can take a hint from the Buddhists who desire and work for the complete welfare, liberty, and happiness of every living being. Now, I'm not promoting Buddhism as a religion. I'm simply suggesting that sounds an awful lot like we're all in this together, we're all in the same field of dreams, we're all cells in the body of humanity. And those who have chosen to embrace Buddhism in a certain sense realize that heaven is not a destination, it's a practice. Just as surely as those bacteria we talked about a while back focus their practice on finding the protein that's going to enable them to find nourishment in a non-nourishing field, our survival depends on metabolizing the unfriendly fields that we find ourselves in. So there's a simple Buddhist practice called Tonglen, which means taking and giving. And it offers us a way to internally digest the toxins of the world and use these to feed the wolf of peace. The practice involves visualizing taking in the suffering of others, and then releasing into the world one's own peace, love, and happiness. The Swami calls this supply-side spirituality. In other words, we're not here to earn God's love, we're here to spend it.
Well, Steve, I really appreciate that insight because it basically says that we are participants in what's unfolding and that our thoughts are contributing to this. And therefore, that as we constrain and control our thoughts and redirect them to a world of happiness and health, living in that garden, living in that heaven that we talk about, making it real here, that those thoughts actually physically contribute to the expression of that reality. But we can also facilitate an evolution by directly manipulating the physical reality we already have. And what we should recognize is that in our current situation, the state of awareness that we hold is that we are finding it difficult to sustain civilization with 6.5 billion people on this planet. Obviously, we need a new organizational plan. Interestingly, there's an extremely successful model for us to follow. There are currently civilizations with upwards to 50 trillion citizens, all living in health and harmony. These civilizations we are referring to are the cellular communities that lie beneath our skin. In accord with the wisdom of the ancients, the answers we seek lie within. As described earlier, the body is a community comprised of trillions of cells. Each cell is a functional and structural equivalent of a miniature human. The needs of a cell are the exact same needs of a human. So in creating a successful community using sophisticated technologies, cells have successfully pioneered the nature of how a community can thrive. The body's cellular community provides for a self-similar fractal expression of a model that we could use to support human civilization. The inherent as above, so below character of fractal geometry allows us an opportunity to model a similar human community based on a cellular community. In fact, the technologies developed by the cells are so valuable that a new branch of science called biomimicry has evolved, which is essentially reverse engineering the body's advanced technology so that we can apply it in our own world. Millions of years ago, the body evolved electric circuits, computer systems, high-tech filtration and environmental purification systems, as well as advanced building materials that include the equivalent of plywood, woven steel fibers, ferroconcrete, among other advanced technologies. The fractal character of nature says that what's good for the cells is good for us. Every cell in a community is in informational contact with every other cell. Each cell has a job in our body. Every cell gets paid for that job. In fact, the body's currency is an energy-storing ATP molecule, which biologists have historically referred to as the coin of the realm. So, all cells in the community of the human body are provided with free health care. They are protected by an ever-vigilant police force. They have their food delivered and their garbage taken out. It is a world where truly no cell is left behind. And when we are in bliss, it means that 50 trillion cellular citizens within us are also in bliss. So the cells offer us a model of how a community as vast as 50 trillion individuals can come together, share an environment, and live in harmony and produce the bliss that we all look forward to.